23 is our text. We are working on a series, chiseling away, little at a time, to understand best that we can, with the Lord's help, about knowing and doing the will of God. The title of this message is Experiencing God Through Obedience. Experiencing God Through Obedience. And John chapter 14, verse 23 kind of puts that perspective on the verse. I should pause real quickly. I apologize for the interruption, but you may have noticed there's a calendar in the bulletin. It may not be 100% accurate, but I'd say it's about 95% accurate. May have a few more things as they come along, but we're trying to be ahead of things if we can. So you have a calendar of events. You also probably noticed an information sheet, and you're thinking, well, I've been a member here for many, many years. Why do you need this? Well, actually, we don't have all the information that I would like to have for... We may have your birthday and your anniversary, but we may not know some of the other things like emails or maybe cell phones. Things have changed. And, of course, did you know that kids grow up? No. They do. I've witnessed it in my own home. My kids are no longer in my house. And so if I were to keep doing things the way they had been, I would still have my children listed in my home. But they're all on their own now. And so they have their own addresses and their own families. And so I encourage you, things do change, and we may not have your address as an adult. We may have some things as a child of the home, but for those that are single adults or what have you, we want to know your information as a single person as well. So interests in ministries, things like that. So go ahead and fill those out, and if you want to pop them in Cheryl's office as you're leaving today, that'd be fine. You could put it in her box if you know where that is. You can leave it laying around. I'll find it. No, don't do that. And for visitors, hopefully you got a visitor card. If you would be willing to fill that out, that'd be great as well. So we can just say thanks for coming today. John 14, verse 23, let's get back to it one more time. Here we are. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will worship with his hands up and clap his hands during the fast songs. That's not what it says, huh? What kind of translation do I have here anyway? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So simple. So simple. And yet not so simple. Lord God, it's hard sometimes. You know that. You've been here. You've been here as a child. I can't imagine what that must have been like. You had your diaper changed. Wow. I mean, think about that. You had to learn how to walk. I wonder, how many times did you fall? Did your daddy pick you up? Or was mommy helping that day? It's pretty tough to fathom that you went through those teenage years. I don't know if you struggled with acne. I did. I mean, I have a hard time grasping this, Lord. You really do know what I go through. And yet, you did it and never sinned. I can't say that. You know where I am. You know how hard it is to face the temptations of life. And yet you were sinless. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that. And now here you are giving us instruction of showing our love. If we really do love, you tell us, we will obey. It's so simple and yet not so easy at times. I pray, God, that you'll help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to understand your truth today, to grasp it, to apply it, to own it, that we will intentionally choose to love you. And I pray, Lord, that your message will be clear in our hearts, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't mind starting with a light note once in a while, and so I have just a short story, just for fun. I read this years ago, and it was so funny, I just put it in a file, and I thought about it the other day, and I thought, I got to bring that back. That one's just too funny. So here's the way it's written. About 5 years ago, the battery in my beat-up VW Beetle had died because I left the lights on overnight. At least he admits that. Most guys, I didn't leave the lights on. Somebody else did it, right? But anyway, the battery's dead. I was in a hurry to get to work on time, so I ran into the house to get my wife to get me a hand at starting the car. I told her to get into our second car, a prehistoric oversized gas guzzler, and use it to push my car fast enough to start it. I pointed out to her that because the VW, the Volkswagen, had an automatic transmission, it needed to be pushed at least 30 miles per hour for it to start. She said, fine. Hopped into her car and drove off. Now, those of you who understand the stick shift, you know, the manual, you're like, well, you obviously don't need that fast. But an automatic transmission, I've never even done that. But I hear it's possible, but it's true. You got to get moving pretty good. So here it is. I sat there fuming, wondering what could she be doing. A minute passed by, and then I saw her in the rear view mirror coming at me at about 40 miles per hour. I realized that I should have been a little bit more clear on my directions. I don't know if it's a true story. If it is, that's great. I wonder what the hospital bill looked like. Car accident, wife ran into me. I don't know. Let's get back to topic. Experiencing God through obedience. We want to know the Lord. We want to know more about him. We want to gain from that relationship daily, and yet we want to do these things in ways that benefit us or are easy or convenient. You know, I once talked about the fact that God is not the God of convenience. I would love to see chapter and verse to that. I haven't found it yet. As a matter of fact, the more I love God, the more inconvenient that seems to be at times. Now, there's wonderful blessings of serving God. There's no doubt about it. But conveniency is not one of the blessings. Sometimes, like I said before, it's difficult. We have covered a number of things over the last number of weeks. We talked about Jesus is your way. We talked that he is the way where? To heaven. No, that's not true. Jesus is not the way to heaven. He is the way to the Father. Think about the verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He doesn't say no one goes to heaven but by me. He says no one goes to the Father. What's that all about? It's about a relationship. It's not about a place. My goal is not heaven. My goal is to see him face to face. Heaven just happens to be where God is in his fullness. And I want you to grasp the difference. Heaven is not the goal. If heaven is your goal, then you will be greatly disappointed in your life as a Christian. If God is your goal, then you will be greatly blessed in your life as a Christian, because it's about relationship. You will continually grow in your relationship to the degree that one day you'll see him face to face, and he will be the best prize you've ever won. Now I see through a glass darkly, then I will see him face to face. Remember that verse. It's not about a place. And that was where we started our goal of getting through this challenge of knowing the will of God and doing. You need to trust the way of the Lord to experience the fullness of life. He is the way. I remember talking about we can get over on Interstate 94 and say we're on our way to Billings. But if you just stand there on the highway or the interstate, what have you accomplished? You're just standing on the way. Well, where are you on your way to? Well, I'm on my way to Billings. Well, then get going. Don't just stand on the way. Get there. Matter of fact, you can go 80 miles an hour here if you really want to. And some people go more than that. Not me. I'm too much of a miser with my gas. I go 75, and I'm like, boy, I don't know. The gas just cuts. I mean, the gas gauge goes too fast, right? Anybody else with me on that? He is your way to the Father. You must be a servant of God, was another point we made. A servant of God never leaves his hands. It's not about God saying, here, go and do this, and then we have to go leave the Father and go do something. No, you are the extension of his hand. You are in his hand as a servant of God. We covered this. Whenever you're not connected to the vine, you become useless, right? You must stay connected to the vine, Jesus said. You're in his hand. Service to God requires faith. When you step out in faith, having heard the Lord, you will see miracles. You must live a God-centered life, which means to deny yourself. You ask this question, what is God already doing? I would like to join him. It's a hard thing to do. When God speaks to you, it is his invitation for you to join him. God wants you to be a part of what he is doing. When he speaks to you, it may cause a crisis of belief. Because finally you got that relationship to the degree and the point that you hear his voice and you understand, wow, this is God speaking. And then you say, what? What did you just say? I have 32,000 men, and you want me to tell them that are afraid to go home? Okay, I've got 10,000 men. And you want me to tell the ones that lap the water to stay, everybody else go home? I've got 300 men, and you want me to do what? You want me to face an army that can't be counted? We don't even know how many camels they have. God says yes. Because they need to know that I am the Lord your God, and it is my victory, not yours. You finally are there, you're hearing his voice, and you're like, you said what? And God says, trust me, it'll be great. Okay, Lord. And you step out in faith, and the miracles begin to take place. Lives are changed. Victories are won, not because of you, but because of him working through you. Hallelujah. This is a great series to understand what does it mean to truly serve God, to know his will, to accomplish his will. In order to overcome the crisis of faith, you need to adjust your life to God. And that's what we talked about last. We come to know God through salvation, through reading his word, through prayer. These are great ways to know the Lord. We come to know God intimately, however, through experience. And that experience is born from obedience. Where are you in your faith walk? What have you experienced with God? When you are one that is walking in obedience, you are intimately close with God. It's part of all of that comes together. Look at Matthew 12 with me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. There are two times in my life where I experienced the miraculous sense of God's presence in a way that I have not felt since or before. The first time was when I was about 7 years old and I came to an altar very much like this. We didn't have a communion table at that time for some reason. It was a Sunday night service, and I knelt at that altar, and I asked Jesus into my heart. I remember asking my mom if I could go forward. I was still young enough where I said, "Mommy, Mommy, can I go?" My mom starts to cry. She's, "Oh, yes, Kevin, of course." So I got up from one of the back pews, back by these young men back here, and I got up and I walked forward, and I knelt down, and I folded my hands, and I was ready. Here I am, I'm ready. I'm going to ask Jesus in my heart. But I had no idea what to do for some reason, and my Sunday school teacher came up to me, put her arms around me. She said, "Kevin, do you want to ask Jesus in your heart?" I said, "Yes." "Do you know what to say?" I said, "No." So she led me in prayer. Now, I want to say about the Sunday school teacher, I was in a small church. 2 out of my 3 years on my cycles of going from one class to the next, I was by myself. I was the only student in my class for 2 years. And then that wonderful third year would come, and I joined my brother and his buddies. And then there was a bunch. Yeah! And I sit there and thought, "Oh, this is awesome." And then for 1 year, I'd sit there, and I didn't have to answer every question. It was great. And then they got promoted, and they go on, and I'd stay back, and for 2 more years, I was by myself. That was my life, all the way through. But my Sunday school teacher, from that particular cycle, is the one that prayed with me, and I'll never forget her. I'll never forget the impression she had on my life as a true believer in Christ. But I prayed a prayer of salvation, and a burden lifted off of me that was so heavy, I didn't even know it was there. But when that burden lifted, I felt like I could fly. I remember it so clearly. I really thought if I were to jump right now, I'd hit the ceiling. And we had a pretty tall ceiling. Not this tall, but it was tall enough. I was so light. I was free. And I'll never forget it. I've had wonderful experiences with God throughout my life, but that was the one that was the most amazing of all. But there was another one that comes close. I was a sophomore in Trinity Bible College. I had still fought God. I did not accept the call to be a pastor or to preach his word. And I was in the balcony of that wonderful Bible college arguing with God at the prayer meeting. And finally, I gave up the battle and I accepted the call. And I shared my testimony earlier. And I had a peace that came upon me that I had never had before. It was amazing. I had such peace to know that I'm in God's will, and there was this comforting knowing it's going to be okay. I have no idea what's in front of me, but it's going to be okay because God is in this, and I had peace. The peace of salvation, the joy of salvation was a wonderful thing, but the peace of obedience is something I have a hard time describing. And my intimate relationship with God went to a whole new level. And it continues yet today. Matthew 12, verse 50. "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You probably know the backstory to this whole thing. People saying that his family's here, and he says, "Who's my family?" And this was his answer. You want to be a part of the family of God? Then do the will of the Father. You experience God through obedience. If you're one who does his will, then you're family. Isn't that comforting to know? Look at John chapter 14. You all know where I'm going with this one. It's a pretty common chapter. We read it often, and rightly so. John 14, verse 15. We'll start there. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." There that thing is again. Obedience. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." I like that word, forever. Isn't that cool to know? God is with you forever. "The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, there it is again. Uh-oh. This obedience thing is really big. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Why is it that so many in the world today, in the Christian world today, think that obedience somehow becomes optional? Where are we coming from that we think that we have a choice? I mean, yes, we have a choice, but really, do we? I mean, if I love God, will I do anything to hurt that relationship? If I love God, Jesus says I will obey his commands. If you love the Lord, you will obey or do what he says. It's not rocket science. It seems so easy, and yet it is so hard. I still remember when I was a teenage boy, I had a lot of responsibility on a farm. I mean, I worked long days. I'd pick rocks forever. And I'm so thankful that one day I get to inherit my lovely rocky quarter. Thank you, Dad. I asked him, Dad, why'd you do that? Why didn't you give that to Cammie, my sister? Well, Kevin, you spent so much time out there, I just thought it's rightly yours. Thanks. Well, I am very thankful. However, I would have liked not the rocky quarter. I was like the professional rock picker. I could tell you stories. Where was I going with that? Wow. That is funny. I just totally lost my train of thought. It's about obedience somehow. I know there's a connection. I know there is. That is great. I love it. All right, what did I just read? We'll go back. It'll come to me, and then I'll be all excited because I'll remember, right? Who is the one that is part of God's family? I'll just backtrack and start over. I don't have that in my notes. That's why I'm lost. Sometimes that happens. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. According to John 14, verse 15 through 21. And yet somehow we think we have a choice on whether or not we say yes to God's commands. God is a God of absolutes. I know where I was going with my story now. He's the God of absolutes. He's always right. He's always perfect in all he does. Somehow I got off track on my story, and that's why I got lost. But I was remembering a time when I was given responsibility beyond my real responsibilities, that actually I thought had value, to take out the garbage. I mean, what a small, silly little thing that is. And we, like every other good farmer out in the country, had our own burning barrel, because all good farmers have burning barrels, right? Maybe some people in town have burning barrels too, I don't know. But I was told by my mother to take the garbage out, and I basically put it off, like no big deal. And she said something to me that for whatever reason, it really impacted me. And she said, well, if you won't do it because you're supposed to do it, would you at least do it because you love me? Now, talk about a guilt trip, right? Moms, you might want to take notes. And I remember grabbing that garbage with a huff, ripped it out of that can, and I went out to the burning barrel and I slammed it in there, put the door shut, locked her down. And we didn't burn it every day. We waited till it got full. And I walked away thinking about it, just thinking, what was all that? Then I realized I may not have enjoyed doing what my mother asked, but when I walked in the house, she said, thank you so much for loving me. And it made an impression that, wow, even something so small, just by doing it, was showing love. It was the first time I thought something so silly could actually be a loving attribute. And I've remembered that through my years when God's asking me to do something, and I'm like, well, Lord, I mean, come on. I pick rock. I harvest the wheat and the barley, and my goodness, I drive truck. We didn't have a semi. I would have driven that too if we had one at the time. And you're asking me to take out the garbage? Yeah. If you love me, you'll take out the garbage. Wow. It made an impression on me. And I've had to learn that lesson. I wished I could learn it once and be done with it, but I've had to learn it many times over through the years. Obedience to God will bring an intimate relationship with God. And my mom and I, in our relationship, actually changed for the better that day. And I began doing something that was just hard to grasp. I would walk by the garbage can, and I would see it was full. And as a teenage boy, I stopped and pondered and thought, I should do this, and bundled it up and took the garbage out, threw it in the burning barrel, and came back to the house, and there's my mom crying. Oh, you did it. I'm like, I did what? You took the garbage out. I'm like, yeah. Oh, thank you so much. She gives me a big hug, and oh, so loving. I'm like, it's garbage. But I did it because I realized it was one way I could show love to my mom. And we had our battles. I don't know why, we just did. But I learned a lesson that day about showing love. Now, we can have a whole life lesson about marriage. All the lessons I've been trying to develop and learn about being a loving husband. It's a progress thing, right, guys? So many ways we don't even think about how to show love to our wives. I'm guilty, just like I was with my mom. I need to learn that some of the things that I don't think is a big deal is actually a very big deal. And you take that relationship and understand that God is saying that you are the bride of Christ. And you are being challenged to do what? To show love to God. Well, I do. I raise my hands. I clap my hands. I play guitar. I sing. I teach Sunday school. I run the PowerPoint, I do the sound so pastor can be heard. I do all these great things. I have coffee with Tina at the Parsonage, which we had 13 ladies over there yesterday. That's cool. God says, you know, those things are nice, those are good, but you really show your love by obeying my commands. Luke chapter 6. Let's go there and we'll get this thing wrapped up. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who digs down deep, or dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Obedience to God is how you show your love. Obedience to God carries you through the storms. And let me tell you, the storms will come. The storms have come, and they will come again. But if you are one who hears the word of the Lord, you understand what he says, you are one that should be digging deep. You're digging down deep to make sure that you build your house on the rock, on the solid foundation. If you are one that wants to just get by, you just want to slide through, you just want to make it work somehow your way, then you will say, you know what, I'm going to build this house, but I'm not going to dig down deep. That's too much work. That takes too much sacrifice. That takes too much of my time. That takes too much of my money. That takes too much of all of me. So I'm going to do it my way. I'll build this house. I'll say I'm a Christian. I'll say I love God. But don't ask me to go too far, because I'm only going to go this far. You're one that will see the storm that the other sees, but your house will come crumbling down. You will crash with great destruction because your faith is not built on the rock. Your faith, honestly, is built on you and your strength and your smartness and your abilities. And if that's your house, it will not last. God says you got to dig down deep. How do you dig deep? By hearing my words and doing them. That's deep faith. And the man that can do that will withstand the storms. Psalm 23 is often read, and it says, starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd. Whom shall I want?" Well, if you cannot say those first few words with truth, then forget the rest of the psalm, because it's not yours. You cannot read it, "I would love it if the Lord was my shepherd. I think the Lord might be my shepherd." No, the Lord is my shepherd. I have built my house on the rock. I have dug down deep. I have sacrificed. I've listened. I've heard. I understood. Wow, that's the Lord. And God said, "Do this." And I said, "Do what?" And I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it, because it's you, Lord, and I trust you, and you build your house. And your relationship with the Lord is intimately growing every day." That's what it's all about. To know and do the will of God is to listen and do what he says. It's so simple. Yeah, right. It's taken me a lifetime. And I got a lot more to go, I pray. And I'm not there yet. The Apostle Paul, he says, "I have not yet arrived. I've not yet been completed." And I'm thinking, whoa, if this guy can do all that and say such things, who am I? Right? But I will say this, he dug down deep. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Experiencing God through obedience is the most intimate thing you will ever experience with God. You can have a great altar time, but I'm telling you, when you do what he says, you have a new intimacy you've never known existed. I love it when people come to the altar, and I love it when they just pour their hearts out. But I'm going to tell you something. If this is all that happens with your intimacy with God, it won't last a week. You'll walk out those doors and wonder, where did God go? And God's standing there going, "Where's the obedience? When are you going to start living your life for me instead of living it for you?" I don't have steel-toed boots, or I would stomp on my own toe right now. Disobedience may bring a less desired experience. The story of Jonah is a great one. We mentioned him briefly this morning at Sunday school. Jonah was called. He heard the voice of the Lord. He understood the mission. And he said, "No. Not me." And it comes out why later on, right? "They don't deserve your forgiveness, Lord. And I knew you were a loving and forgiving God. That's why I wouldn't speak to them. That's why I wouldn't tell them what you wanted me to say. Because I knew you'd forgive them. They deserve judgment, Lord. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait until you finally bring that fire that you said would come down and destroy them all. So I'm going to sit here. Sure is hot out here. Man, I'm getting hot. I'm going to get a sunburn. I'm fair skinned after all. Oh, thank you, nice little branch and tree. Oh, wait a minute, it's dying. Oh, Lord, look, you gave me this wonderful shelter, and then you took it away with that little worm. Oh, man. Isn't that just so silly? And yet so us. I don't know if Jonah's going to be in heaven one day when we go to see the Father. I don't know if I'll have the privilege to sit with him and say, hey, man, what was that like being in that fish? Honestly, I don't know if he's there. I couldn't tell you. Not based on Scripture. And that's sad. Because the king of that city may be there. The one that was evil and horrible. I don't know the whole story. I probably could find out if he ever went back on God. But can you imagine? That entire city repented. And the man of God was disobedient. Would you stand with me as we close? It's not so easy to truly grasp what it means to serve the Lord. It takes great sacrifice. But I want to say, it's worth it. There is a joy that comes from experiencing God through obedience that is above any joy this world could ever give. There is a peace and a satisfaction to know you're in God's will. It's beyond any peace that this world could ever give. And yes, there are hurts and there's challenges that come, but they're worth it because you're with God. I want to challenge you to test that. Test that truth. Whatever it is God's leading you in, and that obedience thing could be so many different things. Because he's a very personal God. Trust him. Apply his word to your life. Dig down deep and build that foundation where it belongs. Lord God, we're thankful that we can know you. I am thankful for the altar times I've had. I'm thankful that you saved me as a boy from my own sinfulness. I can't imagine how a little young boy could be so heavy with sin, but I was. Such a burden lifted that day. Thank you for the time where you finally got through to me to the point where I said yes. You didn't give up on me. Thank you for the peace that comes with obedience that I did experience. But Lord, those things would not matter a whole lot without the everyday experiences of walking with you that have always been since that day. To see the blessing come from obedience. To know you more. I pray that each one here will continue to grow in faith, not just to ride the surface of the church life, but to truly dig down deep, to truly listen and do. That we might see the miracle hand that you have in working in our lives today. Working in the lives of individuals and also working through this body of believers. I pray, God, that you will bless and guide and direct us and that we will be faithful to the call, receive it, and to become your hand in this world. We ask this all in Jesus' name, amen.